I wanted to talk about something that a lot of people are not willing to talk about, which is lawsuits. You, at some point in your salon owner journey, are going to either find yourself in a lawsuit suing someone or being sued. Is it worth my time, energy, or money to lawyer up? There's always going to be cause and effect to anything that you do. My best advice for you, you keep your shit together. Do the right thing, and you will always wind up on top if it comes out to a lawsuit. Welcome to the Seven Figure Salon Podcast with Rachel and Drew. I'm Rachel. Has anybody seen Drew? Just kidding. He's on a coaching call with one of our clients, Erica. But I wanted to still film this podcast for you guys because I wanted to talk about something that a lot of people are not willing to talk about, which is lawsuits. So if you own a business, you at some point in your salon owner journey, business journey, are going to either find yourself in a lawsuit, suing someone or being sued, all right? I'm going to just say it. That's just what happens because you own a business. You and they're, look, like 99% of the time you might get it right. You might not have any problems, but there's always going to be that one time where you may face a lawsuit of some fashion. So I have certainly been a part of lawsuits. I have not ever been a party of a lawsuit where I have been the one being sued. But I have certainly sued others, and I have won every single lawsuit that I have ever initiated. So I think it's important for you guys to know that if you're going to file suit against someone, make sure that you have more than enough ducks in a row and that you have plenty of evidence, plenty of education to be able to show your attorney, hey, this happened, this happened, this happened, here's all my supporting documentation, and this is why this case is a slam dunk. So every single lawsuit that I have ever been a part of, I have won every single one. And I think it's important to know that there might be times where something is not worth it to get involved in. It may not be worth it to initiate a lawsuit, okay? So just to give you some context of the types of lawsuits that you might find yourself in or you might find yourself suing, someone else is going to likely, if you're building a salon out, if any type of construction related process, whether it be an architect, it's a contractor, you know, if you have a landlord, like it's very likely at some point or another that, you know, one of the times, one of the salons that you build, design, you know, open, you could find yourself in a lawsuit. When you find yourself in a lawsuit, okay, whether, and hopefully you're the one doing the suing, okay? Hopefully you're not the one getting sued. Now, I'm going to go through a couple of things. I have a lot of things I want to share, so I'm going to use my notes so I stay on track because otherwise, I always want to make sure these podcasts are short and sweet for you guys. So, different legal challenges, right? So, obviously, any type of contract that you might find yourself in, whether it be a contractor, it's a landlord situation, you have an architect agreement, maybe you have a designer that's helping you build out your salon, all the way down to lease agreements with renters or employer agreements with your team. There's so many different types of agreements. And if you have a business, you need to be doing business with agreements. It's important because if there's anything that goes wrong, it clearly defines what happens. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to someone or some company if something goes south, like what's actually going to happen? Like what are the ramifications for that? So some of the lawsuits that I have been a part of, I've sued contractors, I've sued architects. I have sued a rental stylist. I have, you know, sued another stylist. I mean, it just depends on what it has to do with. Okay. So just to give you some context, real life situations, had a contractor built out my first salon, did not build it out to the standards of the contract. Blew the budget, just didn't do anything correctly, actually built the dimensions wrong. And he actually just finally, after I think 4 or 5 years now on a payment plan, finally just paid me off. His name's Steve. So Steve, thankfully, I've sued two contractors. He's the only one out of the two that have actually paid and done what he was supposed to do. So props to you, Steve, for paying off your bills. That's great. Because, you know, and I don't believe that everybody goes into business I don't believe Steve went into business to screw me or screw up our build or mess up our dimensions and cost me more money and legal fees and all, you know, all of the above. But it happened. And because of what happened and the agreement that we had, it was very clear what happened, and we had to sit there. And because I was damaged and I incurred, you know, over $100,000 of expenses, yeah, I'm going to sue Steve to get to collect on the money that I lost. Now, what I see a lot of in the industry is, and this is freaking nuts. So there's a client, let's say a client comes in, she doesn't like her hair. You know, let's say she wants to do a chargeback, or we even had this happen where a client actually loved her hair, left, and then did a full chargeback on her brand new extension install of $3,200. And meanwhile, I have already paid my stylist to do the work. My stylist did a great job. The client was very happy. The client left a great review. The client paid. The client tipped. All, you know, typical stuff. And then the chargeback happens. We reach out to the client. We're, you know, of course, the payment processor is going to gobble up that money back from us because the client initiated a chargeback. And part of initiating a chargeback is that you are, you know, solemnly swearing that you have a valid reason for initiating that chargeback. You can't just go charge something back because, you know, when you received the service and you were happy with the service. But for whatever reason, this client basically breached her, you know, her whatever the disclaimer is that they have you agree to with the bank, and initiated the chargeback anyway. Boulevard gobbled up our $3,200 charge. I had already paid my stylist. So now I'm at that middle ground of like, okay, cool. This chick's over here has a brand new amazing set of extensions and is very happy. This chick over here did a great job, got paid for her work, great stylist, no problems, did her job. And then I'm the employer sitting here, and I'm actually the one who holds the bag, right? I'm the one who is now incurring the loss. The stylist didn't lose, the client didn't lose, now I lose. Now, in that instance, that sucks. Like, that is a really shitty place to be. That sucks. However, is it worth my time, energy, or money to lawyer up to pursue a $3,200 thing over here when I'm going to have to pay my lawyer probably $3,200 at minimum just to go pursue that? Is that worth it? Probably not. So did I? No, I did not. But I definitely fought that chargeback, and thankfully we were able to recover some of those funds. Did I recoup the money from my stylist? No, I did not, because my stylist did her job. She did a great job. Unfortunately, me as the business owner, I have liabilities that my stylist do not have, right? Now, if you're listening to this and you're a salon owner, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a stylist listening to this, yeah, bet your butt that your owner has a lot more liabilities than you do. And that is why, obviously, they're in the role that they're in and you're in the role that you're in. But, you know, to each their own. Doesn't mean that they're better than you. It's just they, with more risk comes, you know, more reward sometimes. And then sometimes it just comes along with more problems. So in this instance, yeah, I could have pursued the lady for the $3,200 extension install. But at the time, I was like, no, I have a better, my odds are better of fighting the chargeback. It's certainly cheaper to fight the chargeback. It just costs my time. And hopefully that, you know, ends up resulting in a positive light for me. And then that way I'm not losing anything. So fortunately that did work out somewhat to the extent that we wanted. But you know, the contractor that I've sued, Steve, who did end up paying off his settlement, I currently have a salon owner who was a previous rental stylist who, you know, exported a client list and opened up shop and poached half my team to go work for her. That's all a fact. So I can talk about it as a fact that happened. So that person is paying me on a monthly basis for 5 years to pay off that settlement. Now, the word settlement, I want to explore here for a minute. So settlement doesn't mean that I win. Settlement means that I just lose less, okay? So if you get into a lawsuit, don't ever go into a lawsuit thinking that you're going to recoup every single cent that you once lost. That is not true. Like, the best case scenario is for you to get into a settlement agreement. That's the best case scenario, because it's very expensive to go to trial. It's very expensive to have depositions. It's very expensive to retain attorneys. So make sure that if you are going to actually pursue a lawsuit, that you know what you're up against, that you have a clear conversation with your attorney and you understand, okay, if we take this all the way, roundabout estimate, like, what does this look like for me? because if it's above and beyond whatever your damages are, it may not be worth it. So there's nothing stopping you from sending a demand letter to somebody that fucked you over. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. And I would recommend making sure that if somebody does do something, that you do send a demand letter. And if you have an attorney, if you have a business, you should have an attorney that you have retained. And my attorney's amazing. His name's Danny. He's been working with me for, I don't know, 7, maybe 8 years now. He's awesome. Like, he knows me very well. We have a very candid relationship. He's honest. Like, okay, this is worth your time. This is not worth your time. And, you know, like, best case scenario, this is where we're at, you know, and just make sure you have those clear lines of communication with your attorney, because that's going to make sure that at the end of the day that you, even though you're not winning, you're like losing less, but that the attorney isn't sitting there winning at the end of the day and you're just paying the bills. So another thing that you want to look out for is to make sure that as things are happening, like projects, whether it be a build out, an architect, process, like make sure you're documenting things. Make sure that you like, don't sit here and like I don't like having phone calls. I like having Zoom calls that are transcribed, and I like having emails, and any type of written messages. So it's important that you try to keep your communication in writing as best you can, because you never know, like someday, one day you may need that information and you might need that recollection of what actually happened based on what you think happened or what they think happened. Like, this is the actual fact. This is the link to the Zoom call. This is the transcription from the Zoom call. These are the emails. Like, it's important that you stay organized. And I have a lot of clients that I work with, and I can tell you that anytime a client has ever shared their screen with me and their email, like little number boxes up, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, make sure that you stay on top of your emails, because if you are not on top of your emails and you're not organized, you're going to have a really, really hard time if you do find yourself in a lawsuit being able to actually prove up what happened. So another thing that you could, separate issue, not a civil issue necessarily, is going to be any type of criminal lawsuit. Okay, so theft is if someone comes in and they steal something. Now, with this particular client that essentially stole $3,200, they did the chargeback, so that kind of made it a civil thing. But had they, like, let's say, stolen $3,200 worth of merchandise, that would be a different situation. That, yes, you could file criminal charges. There's, I mean, the DA could pick up cases. Like, that doesn't require a lot of legal fees on your behalf. That's more so like the state gets involved and the DA can either take it or don't. We've actually had a lady, guys, and I tell you, I've been through it all. I have. We actually had a lady that came into our newest location probably 6 months ago, and she stole a bunch of stuff from the boutique. And this was an older lady, which was surprising, because I never would think that this like old lady would just come in and load up on all my stuff for free. But yeah, she left and she had a bunch of our jewelry and stuff, and our manager, went out there and she was like, hey, you know, which is, I would have probably had the manager just call the cops, like hindsight. Like, I didn't hear about this until after it happened. But I was like thinking, okay, you could have like gotten hurt, like had you gone out there and confronted her, like what if she would have like hurt you or something? But I guess given the fact that she was an old lady, she felt comfortable going out there and confronting her on it. And she ended up calling the police. The lady ran off as fast as a little old lady could run, ran off. And the police actually did end up finding her, and they found her at another store nearby, and she was also shoplifting there. So she actually did go to jail. I have a mugshot of her on my phone, just freaking hilarious. But yeah, like stuff like that happens. And that's not like a lawsuit, but that's definitely like a legal problem. And in our county, the DA did pick it up and the DA did prosecute, and she did do time for serving time for stealing stuff. So there's always going to be like cause and effect to anything that you do, to anything that you're a part of. There's cause and effect. And like, my best advice for you is to making sure that you are never the cause of something, is that you keep your shit together. Like, that you are organized, that you like don't like promise things or say things that you are not sure of. And always make sure that you are as detailed as possible in all of your correspondence with a contractor, a landlord. Screenshot stuff as it comes. Like if you're reading something, you're kind of like, I don't know, this doesn't sound so good, or like it's a detail where like they're giving you the green light for something and you're like, okay, let me just screenshot this just in the event that like I ever need it in the future. That's something that I'm really good at because that ends up saving me tons of time and energy, like having to search for stuff later in the event that something, you know, goes wrong. So on the employer side, you also, if you're an employer, you know, you've got workers' comp and you have, you know, all of your unemployment insurances and things like that, your employment, unemployment claims and stuff like that. It's important that if you have an unemployment claim that you, number one, show up to the freaking call about it, with your workforce commission. When they mail you the letter, make sure you open it, make sure you show up to the call. If for some reason, you get the letter and the letter, like, I mean, USPS kind of sucks. There's been times where like letters have been mailed to me, but I don't actually get them for like 6 weeks later. Make sure that you do call, you do your due diligence, you call, you explain what happened, they can get you back on another hearing. Most times the other person that is claiming unemployment is not going to show up to the call and you'll win every single time. And also if you are firing someone or, make sure that you have documented everything. It's important that you do that because if you don't document basically the paper trail as to why this person's being fired, this is the first write-up. Here's what happened. Here's the second write-up. This is what happened. Here's the third write-up. This is what happened. And then now we're terminating. If you don't have that paper trail and you're an employer, you will definitely have a hard time winning an unemployment claim if that person decides to file unemployment. Now, on the other side, if someone quits and files unemployment, which is freaking hilarious to me because I'm like, you quit and yet you're trying to get me to pay your unemployment. I mean, you quit. So if someone quits, they cannot get unemployment, period. So sometimes what people will do is they will drag it out and they will just kind of do the least to like not get fired, or they'll even be bold in their decisions and get to the point where you fire them. And that's so that they can claim unemployment. So just make sure that you document everything. Like we probably should title this episode like lawsuits and documentation. Just make sure you document everything because, you know, if and when something does happen, like you need to make sure that you've covered your ass. Another thing I want to talk about is contracts and agreements. So if you're an employer, I would recommend having an employee agreement. Okay. So this explains like what you provide, what you don't provide, what they're responsible for doing, what you're responsible for doing, that you're an equal opportunity employer. It clearly defines what your paid time off policy is. It has all of that. Like if you offer benefits, like it explains the benefits and like how they can, if you contribute, if you don't, all of that stuff, but also making sure that they're clear, especially in our industry. If state board comes in and if they issue you a fine because this person's, you know, let's say their license is expired, or you've been, if you're like me, you have a lot of employees and you're trying to make sure everyone's licenses are up to date and you have reminders and stuff set. But at the end of the day, if there's a fine that happens because someone's license is lapsed, that person's responsible for the fine. You're not responsible for the fine. Although, you know, yeah, you've been haggling them to get their contract updated. But if another thing I want to talk about too is like rental agreements. So if you have a rental salon and let's say you've got a bunch of renters, or maybe you're a hybrid model and you have renters, it's important that you have a rental agreement. Don't sit here and do this homegirl, you know, yeah, I got you. Yeah, Venmo me, Cash App me, Zelle me. Don't do any of that. Have an agreement, have an ACH withdraw out of their account every single week or month or however you set it up, and make sure that you hold them to that contract. If they have to give you 30 days before they leave, they have to give you 30 days before they leave. If the contract's for a year, it's for a year, right? But it's important that you are clear and that they are clear as to what the contract says. And I would highly, highly recommend that whatever type of agreement you have, that you have the same agreement for everyone. Don't sit here and have this other, you know, arrangement for her and this arrangement for her and this like, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. Don't do any of that. Like have the same agreement for everybody because it's gonna be really difficult for you other than you having to go back and review paperwork that has already been filed and stowed away. It's gonna be really hard for you to remember what your own freaking policies are if it varies from person to person to person. And also, if you're an equal opportunity employer, you have to treat everyone the same. You can't sit here and have a special treatment for her and not enough treatment for her, and she's my favorite and she's not my favorite, and like all this crap. You can't do that. I see that all the time in our industry. The only thing you can do is regarding perks or compensation packages is by department, you can have a certain compensation package for management, a different compensation package for stylists, and a different compensation package for assistants. You can do that. But what you can't do is she plays by a different set of rules than her, and they're both the same position. That doesn't work. So just make sure that you're in compliance with your state laws as well. Because let's say you're treating people like employees, but they're not really employees. I see that all the time. They're like, oh, well, yeah, like they'll call people their employees, but like everyone's a renter or everyone's an independent contractor or you're 1099-ing people. Or a lot of complaints I see in our industry is like, oh, well, she's blocking off her schedule or she's doing this and she's doing that. I'm like, well, is she a 1099 or are you W-2ing her? Like she's a 1099. I'm like, well, legally speaking, she can do that. So it depends, like how you classify your people is super important. You don't want to end up getting in a misclassification lawsuit because you have misclassified your whole team, or you have some people that are believing that they're W-2 and other people that are not. I've seen this go wrong also where you fire a 1099 contractor who's a stylist who you're paying commission to, yet they're not an employee, you're not paying employer taxes on them, you're not doing withholdings for them, et cetera, et cetera. And that person goes and files unemployment. Here's a funny thing. Not funny. It's not funny at all for you. Is they're going to call their state, they're going to claim unemployment, and they're going to have to produce documents that show that they were actually employed, keyword employed, by you. Not independent contractor employed by you. And so when they say, "Oh yeah, well, yeah, she, you know, I worked for her. She controlled my schedule. She told me when I had to come in and when I had to go home and, you know, like this, that, and the other. I got commission on my services." You're going to have a misclassification lawsuit on your hands, and that is not a good thing to have. So make sure that if you, based on the level of control you want in your business, make sure if you are setting people's schedules, you are, you know, telling them they can have off or they can't have off or they have to come in this day or that day or whatever the case may be, they are an employee. Make sure that you have them as an employee and that you are paying employer taxes on their income that they're being paid, instead of misclassifying them just to save, you know, 10% or whatever, and misclassifying them. And guess what? That's going to end up costing you way more money in the long run doing it the wrong way. Also, make sure too that you are on top of all of your tax filings. Okay. So what you don't want to do is neglect the numbers. And I know a lot of people in our industry neglect the numbers because they aren't numbers people. But make sure that you are getting familiar with your numbers enough to where you can actually hold a conversation, you can read a P&L, you understand that your sales tax is due every single month, you understand that your quarterly taxes are due, your filings, your corporation taxes and documents and stuff. Like, it's a whole accounting process. So don't just sit here and shove receipts in the shoebox and then April 14th whip them out and be like, okay, I'm ready to do my taxes. That doesn't work. Like, if you have employees, you have a business, you have expenses, you have overhead, you're selling products, you're doing services, you have to interact with your money way more often than April 14th once a year. And also make sure that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a CPA to do your tax filings. You technically could do your tax filings yourself. I am not a fan of that at all. You are a master of a few things and not a master at accounting. So don't sit there and try to take on that, because the amount of money that you think you're saving, you're actually probably losing because you're not taking advantage of tax savings that you wouldn't have, that you would have otherwise had the opportunity to partake on if someone else did it. Okay. Another one, last one is going to be, partnerships. So, in a previous episode, we discussed partnerships to an extent, but I want to specifically talk about partnerships and lawsuits. So I've seen this happen in the industry. I have friends that have gone through this. It is not fun when a partnership comes to an end, but if it comes to an end, you've got to be able to work it out and you've got to be able to have it be amicable, because especially if you got employees in the business and you've got two people that are like, it's essentially a divorce is what it is. It's a business divorce. And you just want to make sure that the whole team can like stay on board. If you're currently open, that your team can stay on board and that everybody feels supported and that it doesn't open this like big gaping hole in the business for everyone to like peace out. Cause people don't like to be a part of stuff like that. Like people, it's the same thing. And like when people get divorced, like people always pick sides, like family members, friendships, like people pick sides, and like you don't want your employees picking sides necessarily. So if you're going to go through a partnership, dissolution, and you're going to, hopefully it can be, you know, quick and easy and you have an operating agreement. So it's like, hopefully, you know, a lot of the feelings can get put aside and you guys can just deal with the facts and follow along in the operating agreement as to like what the steps were going to be if and when that happened. But if you don't have an operating agreement, I would definitely make sure that you have an attorney, you retain an attorney, they retain an attorney. Do not share the same attorney. A good attorney would tell you they aren't allowed to do that anyway, because you've got an entity and then you've got two partners, all right, or three or however many you got. So you want to make sure that maybe if there's an attorney, if the, let's say the company is in a lawsuit, then yes, and you guys are okay and you're good as partners, then yes, that company can have and retain the same attorney as the individuals. If you're going through a business divorce or a partnership dissolution, what you want to make sure of is that you have your own attorney, they have their own attorney, and that you guys can do some sort of settlement agreement or work it out. And it doesn't have to go into becoming like a bigger issue where you're in a courtroom. So, look, the summary of this whole thing is like, not saying any of this stuff to scare you. I'm just trying to educate you as to like what could happen, you know, what has happened for us and how to handle it, more so that you know, like if you're stepping into something, you're like, oh yeah, Rachel told me about this. Like I've heard about this. I'm familiar with this. And you don't just go into it blind. That's always what we're trying to do with these episodes where we talk about more controversial things is really just educating you. So that way you can approach these things with more confidence and just a little bit more know-how than you might otherwise have had you not listened to it. So, but the main thing is just so be organized, keep track of as many details as possible, screenshot things. Make sure, like I love using the search feature in my photos. Like if I go into my photos app, and I click the search bar, like I literally can like search for anything in my phone. And I do this often because Drew loses his ID on a regular basis. And so I just type Michael Drew Thomas and then I can pull up his ID on my phone. And I use this search feature all the time. I also use Basecamp. You guys know I'm a big fan of Basecamp. And Basecamp is where I keep all my stuff, like my documents, my files, like even down to like my Nordstrom notes. Like I literally take pictures and I put everything in Basecamp because again, I can use a search feature and I can find anything. So just be as organized as possible and do business in good faith. Like don't be shady. Don't do sketchy shit. Don't lie. Do the right thing and you will always wind up on top if it comes out to a lawsuit. If you, you know, ever find yourself being the one being sued, don't make it ugly. Don't make it more dramatic than it needs to be. Like, just be honest and just like show like, hey, I really tried to make this work and unfortunately it didn't work. And this is where we're at now. So I apologize for XYZ. My hope is that we can come to a settlement agreement and we can pay this out over time. You know, I'm so sorry that it even resulted in this. Like, just be honest and just be a good human. And, but if you, hopefully if you are in a lawsuit, you're the one doing the suing and not be on the other side. But even that has its own challenges. And again, if you're seeking to fight, a fight is going to cost you a lot of money. So why don't you seek resolution and solution, and you're going to have a much lower legal bill and be able to get on the other side of that lawsuit fairly quickly. So I'll leave you guys with that. If you have any questions about this, you want to talk to me about anything that you're currently got going on, or you know, you're in a partnership and you're like, crap, I don't have a partnership agreement. Whatever the case may be, reach out to me on Instagram and I'm happy to talk to you about it and help you navigate those waters. But I'll see you guys on the next episode.